Our epistle reading today comes from Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 through 5. Share each other's troubles and problems, and so obey our Lord's command. If anyone thinks he is too great to stoop to this, he is fooling himself. He is really a nobody. Let everyone be sure that he is doing his very best, for then he will have the personal satisfaction of work well done and won't need to compare himself with someone else. Each of us must bear some faults and burdens of his own, for none of us is perfect. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you join me in a word of prayer before we receive the message? Almighty God, I know that nothing that I'm about to say or do by virtue of my own strength or effort has any calorie of wisdom unless it's infused with the movement of your Holy Spirit. And so I'm asking, as this word has been read, that we receive the word of God anew. Breathe, O breath of God. Change us, challenge us, convict us if necessary, but more importantly, transform us as we've made ourselves available to receive this word into agents of transformation for the sake of your gospel and for the sake of this one that we proclaim to be Christ, our Lord and Savior. Have your way. We thank you ahead of time for what you're doing and what you're about to do in us and through us and with this word. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul says in this message to the Galatian church that we should bear one another's burdens, because in doing so we fulfill the law of Christ. But then almost in the same sentence, a couple of verses later, he says each one should carry their own load. Each one should carry their own, in a way, luggage. I was doing some research, speaking of this week, and did you know that according to the Bureau of Transportation Statistics, in 1 year's time, there were some 632 million passengers that boarded domestic flights in the U.S. in just 1 year's time. In 1 year's time, 632 million passengers boarded domestic flights just in the U.S. Just in the U.S. And then of those 632 million passengers, for every 1,000 passenger, six items of luggage either got lost or misplaced, which is down significantly from other years. So let's do the math. If there are 632 million passengers on domestic U.S. flights in 1 year's time, and of every 1,000 passengers, six articles of luggage get misplaced or lost, that translates, and I had to do my math, and my wife had to help me because I'm not all that great at mathematics, I'll admit it. But what that translates into in a year's time is 105,333 articles or baggage gets lost in a year's time, which I say is it's a vast improvement from previous years. And it got me thinking, of all the baggage that gets lost from this place, I wonder how often baggage gets mistakenly occupied or owned by somebody else. I wonder how often baggage gets mistakenly claimed by people. Have you ever done that before? Have you ever been traveling and you saw an item that looked like yours and even felt like yours? And you made the mistake of carrying it off thinking that it was yours, but what you're really possessing is something that isn't yours and doesn't belong to you. Have you ever done that? No? Have you ever claimed anything that you thought was yours because it looked like yours and it felt like yours and even wore like yours, but then soon enough you found out through time that what looked like and felt like yours really wasn't yours to begin with. It doesn't belong to you. Now, you might say that you've never done that before, but I venture to think that you have in some shape or form. You deal with the frustration of coming to discover that what you've been carting along all this time was never yours to own. Airport or otherwise, I want to ask a question. Have you ever possessed something that wasn't really yours? And I tried to find some statistics about that since I had stats on how often baggage gets lost. I wanted to do some work to see how often baggage gets mistakenly claimed. And I couldn't come up with a number, but you know what? That's okay, because we do it all the time. More often than we think, more often than we'd like to accept. I would venture to think we do it more than 103,000 times. We do it all the time. Well-intentioned as we are, it's easy to claim others' stuff. It's easy to claim others' stuff that really doesn't belong to us, and it's a hit to sustained happiness when we do that. It's a hit to sustained happiness and a killer to contentment. It's an important issue. Why? Brothers and sisters, because we're a people who perpetually pursue happiness. We're a people who want to be happy, who strive to be happy. We're a people who are on a perpetual quest for contentment. And daily, it seems our lives are inundated with messages, typically from marketers, that say that they have a hold on helping us find our holy grail of happiness. And you've seen it. Have you ever been in the grocery line at checkout and you've kind of been looking around as you've waited your turn to check out and you've looked around and you saw the pictures of the covers of magazines and you see things, all kinds of things relegated to securing happiness, to helping you be happy. You see things like 7 strategies to satisfy your spouse, 6 surefire ways to ensure your smile stays, 5 hints of a happy home. And since we're in October, how to have a scary fun Halloween for you and your family. It's all over the place. Because we strive as a people, we pursue as a people persistently anything that'll help us to be happy. And apparently in a land of plenty, in the richest country in the world, we need help. We need help with happiness. And there are a whole host of outlets that are hungry to help us get there. But it seems, brothers and sisters, this word has something to say. This word has something to say about it. And I want to spend some time in the next 3 weeks setting a scriptural structure, not necessarily for starting happiness, but for sustaining happiness. This word offers us a lot in terms of instruction, not only about how to be happy, but how to stay that way. And we don't necessarily have difficulty starting anything. That's not the challenge. Isn't to start, but to stay. The challenge isn't to start happiness, and isn't to start to be happiness, but our challenge is, as a people, how do you stay that way? You know, the challenge for us isn't how to start love, it's just how do you sustain love. The challenge for us isn't how to start a friendship, it's how to sustain one. The challenge for us isn't how to start a career or how to start employment or a vocation, but to stay employed, sustain employment. In the same way, our challenge isn't necessarily about how to start happiness, but how to sustain it. So I've constructed a 3-week sermon series through this week and through this month of October that's essentially a spinoff of the childhood story that we've learned. You know, you've heard it. If you're happy and you know it. You know it? If you're happy and you know it. 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 You poor souls that didn't clap, I feel bad for you. You old curmudgeons. But you know it. I mean, the sermon series I've constructed is a spinoff of the childhood song, If You're Happy and You Know It. But what I want to do is to offer something along the lines, if you're happy and you blow it. If you've arrived at a state of happiness, but all of a sudden that happiness is compromised, what do you do if you're happy and you just so happen to blow it? And I'm going to highlight some things, brothers and sisters, over the course of 3 weeks that threaten to punch holes in our global sense of happiness and that are killers to true contentment. And so with Scripture as our structure, I want to suggest 3 simple yet significant challenges that are game changers. 3 simple yet significant challenges that are game changers if we're happy and we blow it. And it's this, 3 simple instructions, simple yet significant. Lay it down, let it go, and give it up. Lay it down, let it go, and give it up. They might seem very similar. You might think that they mean the same things, but they're distinct in and of themselves. If you're happy and you blow it, here's the challenge. Either lay it down, let it go, or give it up. And for those of you who learn by jotting down notes or doodling, there's a note sheet on the back that corresponds to some points I'm making in my sermon. But I want to spend some time talking about what it means to our global sense of happiness when we decisively choose to lay certain things down. If you're happy and you blow it, chances are at some point you've picked up, you've possessed, and taken ownership of something that isn't yours to own in the first place. How many of you, if you're going to be honest enough to raise a hand, not by way of physicality, but emotionally and spiritually, you've taken on something that essentially belonged to someone, and you thought it was yours to own, but you realize you've carted around something for a long time and discovered the thing that you carted around, even though it felt like yours and it looked like yours, you discovered the further on down the line you got into it that it really wasn't yours in the first place. Anybody here? Anybody here? Yeah. Yeah. It's easy to identify ownership of stuff in the physical, but the lines blur, brothers and sisters, in the emotional and the spiritual when we find ourselves asking questions, especially as Christians. Especially as Christians, what belongs to me and what doesn't belong to me? What's there for me to own as mine and what's somebody else's to own? How do I take responsibility for the things that are essentially mine, and how do I have the boldness and the bravery to lay certain things down that I've, for a certain point, been convinced was mine to pick up? When does my help really help? And when is my helping not really helping? Because this looks like mine to carry. It even feels like mine to carry. But now that I've lugged it for a while and I'm getting into it, why doesn't this seem to fit? Why doesn't it seem to fit right? And Paul offers us a very powerful instruction in a three-verse passage. And I want to recap it just very quickly with you again in chapter 6 of Galatians. Did you hear that? Did you hear this in the beginning? It says, bear one another's burdens, because in doing so, brothers and sisters, you'll fulfill the law of Christ. And then later, a short couple of verses over, he says, for all must carry their own loads. Wait a second. I'm not getting this, Paul. He said, in one side of your mouth, you say, bear one another's burdens, because in doing so, you fulfill the law of Christ. But at the end, you say, each one's responsible for carrying their own load. Which one is this? Is this a contradiction? Or is this a distinction? And I think that once we get into it, Paul has something profound and powerful to instruct us. As it was for the Galatian people, so it is for us. And if you're unfamiliar, Paul was a missionary to the Gentiles. What was a Gentile? A Gentile was someone who just wasn't a Jew. And Paul's life was dramatically changed by the Spirit of Christ. He was a persecutor of the early church and followers of the way. And on the Damascus Road, he had a dramatic change in his life. And he changed from being a murderer to a missionary in the name of Christ. And so he extended himself to parts of the East, and he's responsible for what scholars suggest to be at least 70% of our New Testament text. And so Paul was one who wrote letters to this church in Galatia. It was an eastern country east of Italy. And the Galatian people were a people scattered through different home churches through the southern region of Galatia. And he was learning that there was these new converts, these new Gentiles that were trying to embrace a new identity in Jesus. But they were coming across some Jewish people, Judaizers, in the day that suggested that in order to be saved, you needed to follow these types of laws. And so he was writing to address whatever friction that was existing between this newfound community and the people therein, the Gentiles. And the Judaizers had different ideas about how they should act with one another. And so Paul was saying, look, if you're going to live into this new identity, what you need to do is to help bear one another's burdens. Because in doing so, you fulfill the law of Christ, but at the same time, he says, each one's responsible for carrying his or her load. Seems like a contradiction. But perhaps there's a distinction. I want to do something. If I can have a few people here up front, I just need to hold up these signs. You don't have to do anything. Mrs. Stephanie, you want to get up? And I always volunteer my wife for everything. I'm going to run out of opportunities here soon. The first word I want to show, and Emily can hold, and make sure the choir can see that really, really good too. He says, bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens, because in doing so, you're fulfilling the law of Christ. Now, look it up. The Greek for burden is this word baros. Baros. The word for burden is baros. And it's a word that describes not just a weight, but an abundant weight. A significant weight. It's a weight that can be likened to something like a boulder, a burden, a boulder. And a boulder isn't just a weight, but it's a significant weight. And nobody worth their weight, even as brawny as they might be and their bulking biceps, are never expected to carry a baros by themselves. In time, if you're going to carry a boulder, what could be a boulder, something the size of a boulder and weighty as a boulder, you would never be expected to carry that alone. In time, if you're carrying a boulder, you're going to get pretty fatigued and not be able to do anything. And Paul is saying, with this newfound community, bear one another's, turn it around, bear one another's what? Boulder. Bear one another's boulders. A significant weight, an abundant weight, things that we know we can't carry by ourselves. You understand that people carry boulders when they find themselves thrust into a life experience where they've not only lost a loved one, but at the same time have been laid off from their job. And at the same time, they learn from a relative of a cancer diagnosis, and they just feel crushed. There's other boulders that we can carry, predicaments that we can get ourselves into, by not necessarily any fault of our own, and we cry out for help. Paul says, bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's boulders, because in doing so, you fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, you're doing for your brother and sister exactly what Jesus did for us. Exactly what Jesus did for you. Christ bore for us a weight, a significant weight, a boulder that we could not carry by ourselves. And in liberating us as a people, we live in the freedom of a new life where we're called to be imitators of Jesus. So, as imitators, bear one another's boulders, because when you do, you fulfill the law of Christ. But at the same time, a couple of verses later, he says each person is responsible for carrying his or her load. Is this a contradiction or is this a distinction? Well, the Greek word for load is a word that's called fortion. Fortion, it looks like fortune, but fortion. In the Greek word fortion means it's baggage. Cargo, a backpack, if you will. Something that you would carry along with you every day. When you go through the airport, everybody has cargo, do they not? Either a carry-on or something that they're going to check in baggage. It's a weight that everybody is responsible for carrying. Anybody has a knapsack or a backpack or a handbag or a purse. There are weights that we carry with us every day that it's nobody's responsibility but ours. And so Paul says, for the weights that you can't bear by yourself, for those boulders, you should have the confidence and the freedom to beseech your brothers and sisters to bear your burdens with one another. Because when you do that, you fulfill the law of Christ. But at the same time, everybody has a load. And everybody's responsible for carrying their own cargo. Their own baggage. Why am I talking about all of this? What relevance does this have when it comes to our own sense of well-being? Well, brothers and sisters, I venture to say, hear me, it seems real hits to our happiness happen when we live as though boulders are backpacks, or we're convinced by somebody else that a backpack is a boulder. It seems real hits to our happiness happen when we live as though boulders are merely backpacks, daily loads, something that everybody carries and is responsible for carrying by themselves, or when we live as though backpacks are really boulders. So what I want you to get, real hits to our happiness happen when we live as though we perceive boulders are merely backpacks, daily loads to carry by yourself, or when we're led to believe that somebody else's backpack is a boulder. You know, when our sense of self-sufficiency or our stubborn pride or maybe even our lack of self-respect causes us to be convinced that our boulders are daily loads to be carried by ourselves, it's not long that your sense of happiness takes a hit, and even as a Christ follower. When you're too prideful or too stubborn or too self-sufficient or you don't have enough thought of yourself to ask for help, when you perceive that your boulder is a backpack, it doesn't take long for you to become weary. And so Paul says, for those of you who are carrying boulders, rely on one another to help bear that burden. Have you ever been in community or encountered somebody that was carrying a heavy weight that you knew they just couldn't carry by themselves, even in the throes of loss or grief or financial hardship, a friend that was going through a difficult time, a diagnosis? Those are boulders. Paul says, bear one of those. Help them. But at the same time, everybody's responsible for their own cargo. There are some daily things that we're responsible for taking care of. And when we're led to assume responsibility for carrying somebody else's backpack or their luggage because either we or they've convinced us that they're boulders, it can be a real hit to our happiness as well. When you've decisively possessed or picked up to own something that didn't belong to you, it has a real wear on your happiness, a real hit to your sense of well-being. And here's some questions to consider as we pray for the wisdom to determine what belongs as a boulder and what belongs as a knapsack, what belongs as a backpack. This is a question to consider. Is this a burden I or they can't bear alone? Is this something that happens to people every day? You know, think about it. Because I know that there are some people in here that have carried the weight of some emotional strife because somebody did or said something that thought and gave you the impression that it's your responsibility, that it's your fault, it's your need. And in order to experience the happiness that the Lord intends for us, perhaps it might be time. If you're happy and you blow it, chances are you may have picked up and possessed something that wasn't yours to possess in the first place. It might be time to lay it down. Maybe in your self-sufficiency, you've been content to carry something you weren't meant to carry by yourself. Maybe it might be time, if you were happy and you blow it, to lay that down, to ask, to reach out. Is this a burden I or they can't bear alone? Is this a daily load that comes with everyday living? Is my helping helping? And has my outward help made me angry? And you know that you may be taking up somebody's backpack when you've decided to help and then you find yourself angry because you helped. Might be a cue. Oftentimes, brothers and sisters, as I close, it's easy for us to adopt and even justify unhealthy behavior in the name of Christian service. Because after all, doesn't Jesus say that the greatest is the least of these? That the most significant of all is the servant of all? That the first should be last? And that we should lay down our life for the sheep? And those who keep their lives for themselves will lose it? I mean, don't we abide by those precepts? I mean, yeah, indeed. The Lord challenges us to lay down our lives, brothers and sisters, not at the expense of our own identities. Are you too not a child of God? Are you too not created in the image of God? Precious and beloved in God's sight? Think about it. I don't think the Lord ever intended for you to lose your sense of self or your identity for the sake of saying that you're helping in the name of Christian service. It could be that you've confused a backpack for a boulder or a boulder for a backpack. To be happy and not blow it, we have to understand the difference for my last note. We have to understand the difference between being accountable to and responsible for. We have to understand the difference between being accountable to somebody and responsible for them. Because too oftentimes I think we punch holes in our happiness because we've assumed responsibility for things emotionally and spiritually and physically that we didn't have any business being responsible for. You know, my children are young and they can't provide for themselves. They're at an age and stage of life where Brody, he can't make his own food. And he can't do some of the things that adults can do. My 4-month-old daughter can't survive without provision. Are we accountable to them or responsible for them at this stage? Responsible for them. Now, there's going to become a point in time then daddy will stop giving Brody a bath and will stop making his food and stop helping him make his bed. There'll be a point in time when there's a shift that occurs because of maturity that I'll no longer be responsible for him but accountable to him. We will never stop being accountable to people, but some of us haven't stopped being responsible for. And we have to understand that if we're happy and we blow it, maybe you've assumed responsibility for baggage that isn't yours. There's going to come a point in time, I hope to God, when Bertie's 18, he's not going to say, "Daddy, I'm ready for my bath." And I'll say, "Okay, buddy, get your shower." Because there's a point in time that I'm accountable to you. I'm not responsible for. And maybe you're in a space where those lines have blurred. If you're happy and you blow it, there's a good chance you've taken up something that wasn't yours to carry. And if you blow it and you know it, then it might be time to lay it down. Lay it down. It could be the hardest thing to do, but ask the Lord for wisdom to own what's yours and relinquish what's not. And when you do, you'll be happy that you did. In Jesus' name.